Welcome. I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Calls One Planet series. Later in the show today, we'll talk about recent studies showing that up to 89% of the world's people want their governments to take stronger climate action. And we'll hear about Covering Climate Now's recently launched 89% Project, which urges journalists to report on these people who want strong government-led climate policy programs. But first, California's high-speed rail project. Last month, the Trump administration canceled $175 million in federal funding for the project following the earlier revocation of $4 billion in federal grants that happened over the summer. Now, these funding cuts present yet another hurdle for this 17-year-old initiative, which was originally designed to connect San Francisco and Los Angeles in under 3 hours. Governor Gavin Newsom criticized the Trump administration's decision, calling the termination of the grants, quote, petty political retribution motivated by President Trump's personal animus toward California and the high-speed rail project, not the facts on the ground. Now, unlike most other wealthy countries, the U.S. still doesn't have a high-speed rail system that hits over 180 miles per hour. California's San Francisco to L.A. route was initially supposed to be finished by 2020 at a cost of $33 billion, but the projected cost has since risen from upwards of $89 to $128 billion, with the start of service along a portion of the line in the Central Valley only expected to be operational by 2033. Now, according to BBC, by contrast, the total length of China's high-speed rail network will reportedly be 31,000 miles this year. And meanwhile, the European Union has over 5,000 miles of high-speed rail lines, led by Spain's nearly 2,000 miles. So why is California, the world's fourth largest economy, lagging behind? Well, to understand the factors that have contributed to delays in the construction of high-speed rail in California, we're joined by Benton Graham, a freelance journalist who writes about mobility, immigration, and undertold histories. Benton's recent piece in Grist focuses on California's failure to build a high-speed rail system. Welcome to the program, Benton.
Thanks for having me. It's fun. Normally, I'm the one interviewing you. And we're turning the tables today.
I should disclose that you did interview me for the piece, so some of what you might be saying might have come from me, but I know you talked to a wide range of experts. It just happens to be a project that I've worked on a bit in my role at UC Berkeley Law, but great to have you on here. So, Benton, the high-speed rail project has been getting more attention in the last couple months because of the Trump administration's decision to pull the federal funding that I mentioned. So how significant is that pulling back of federal funding for the project now moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and part of why I wanted to dig into this story a little more. Like you said, there's been a lot of news around this project in the last few months, and you know, a lot of that stemming from the Trump administration's opposition to the project. You know, I think it's important to understand the kind of broader context of this project. So that's, again, kind of why I dove into it. But yeah, I think it is significant. I mean, one of the major issues for this project has been funding from the beginning and having a consistent source of funding. The project has spent about $15 billion to date. 75% of that has been from the state. And from the beginning, going back to 2008, the plan was to sort of have a third of the project covered by the state, a third covered by the federal government, and then a third by the private sector. So really, the federal government has not, and the private sector for that matter, have not lived up to that sort of promise. And so when you see the $4 billion that the administration revoked earlier this year, and then more recently the $175 million, and I should say that the state is fighting these in court, it is a big problem for this project, and how it all gets resolved is you know, going to be a key factor in if this rail line ever gets built and has Californians, you know, riding up and down and at those high speeds.
Is there a chance that what the Trump administration has announced is going to grind construction to a halt anytime soon? I mean, what's the sort of near-term threat that the High Speed Rail Authority might be facing, and based on your reporting on this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, my understanding, at least in talking to the authority, is that that's the California High Speed Rail Authority that's overseeing the project, is that they do have enough funding to kind of skate by for the next 4 years, and that as you're probably aware, the legislature, Governor Newsom, recently approved $1 billion annually to. From the cap and trade program to go toward this project. So it does seem to have enough to string together to keep it alive, for the next 4 years. I think, looking a couple of years into the future, if we have another presidential administration that's as hostile to this project as the Trump administration has been, then that's going to be a significant that could be when we're talking about maybe this project I guess dying, or something that you and I have discussed potentially going back to Californians for another infusion of cash. But for now, it seems like the project has enough to kind of string it together for the next couple of years. But it is damaging when there's delays like this, because as the project gets delayed, costs increase. So, if there are delays that stem from these $4 billion plus dollars not being available, it's just going to keep ballooning the cost and put this project in an even more difficult position.
We're speaking with Benton Graham, freelance journalist who writes about mobility, immigration, and undertold histories. And his recent piece in Grist focuses on California's failure to build a high-speed rail system. That's the focus of our discussion here on Your Calls One Planet series. We've got Benton through the rest of this half hour. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. We want to hear from you. What do you think about California's high-speed rail project? Should we be spending billions of dollars on it? And if it was built, would you ride high-speed rail in California? We've got Benton, like I say, up through the half hour here. So if you want to weigh in, please call us 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or email us with your thoughts about high-speed rail, what you'd like to see happen, what you would want to see the state do differently, if you have thoughts about that, at yourcall@kalw.org. Well, Benton, we talked a bit about the Trump administration trying to withhold funding here, and this mirrors what they did the first time Trump was in office. What do you think is underpinning all of this hostility by the Trump administration against this project specifically?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. This is, as someone who covers transportation projects across the country, I mean, this has really become one of the top two or three transportation stories during this administration. And if you go back to 2016 and the early days of Trump's first administration, he wasn't always opposed to this project. I mean, he famously told airline executives that it was a shame that the US didn't have high-speed rail like China or Japan. So this wasn't always something that the Trump administration opposed. It seems to be that when Governor Newsom came into office toward the end of Trump's first term, he saw potentially maybe more of a political rival in Newsom, and he sort of started to target it. And that's when we see that first revocation of $4 billion, or I guess at that point it was the $1 billion. And I think it was 2019. So this seems to be something that is about his rivalry and relationship with Governor Newsom at some level. But it's also kind of one of the interesting pieces of the Trump administration's opposition to the project, is it does seem to have hardened the resolve of California Democrats on looking to get this project done. I mean, you've seen a lot of efforts from the legislature, including loosening environmental regulations for the project earlier in the summer, and then, like I said, the $1 billion that the legislature and Governor Newsom have set aside annually through 2045. So it's a really interesting moment for this project because, like we've talked about, there's a lot of opposition from the federal government right now, but it seems to have amped up support for the project amongst California politicians, and I'll say amongst Californians as well. I mean, as much as we are, as much as we trust polling, a lot of the polling around this shows that despite the delays and cost increases, that Californians do seem to still support this project.
And Benton, what is the state of the first phase of the project right now?
Yeah, so it's a good question because I do think one of the things that oftentimes gets lost in the discussion of this with so much news flying around it is that, of course, there have been some failings on the state's part when it comes to this project, but there has been some progress made. 70 miles of way have been laid for the project. There's 50 plus structures have been erected. 15,000 jobs have been created since its inception. So, there has been some work done on this project. Most of that is in the Central Valley, and so kind of on that 119 mile segment from Merced to Bakersfield, which is a kind of another interesting piece of this project, as the High Speed Rail Authority has kind of indicated in recent months that it's maybe considering a different initial route, which is, something we can talk about as well.
So what, let's talk about that now. What is the route that they might be considering?
Yeah, so there's in a report released last month, they sort of compared the ridership figures, were they to start from Merced to Bakersfield, sort of the agreed upon first segment. And they found that it would have about 2 million folks riding annually, and compared that next to a route from Bakersfield to Gilroy, where it would get closer to the Bay Area and potentially tap into one of those major population centers in California. And they estimated it would be about 10 million annual ridership. And of course, ridership is always difficult to project so far out, especially for a piece of infrastructure that has never existed in the state. But that's a pretty big gap. I mean, 2 million versus 10 million. So I know there are folks in Merced who are surprised and not happy about that. But yeah, it's quite possible that the route here could change, and that's something to monitor for the next few months.
And either way, if it terminated for this first phase in Gilroy or Merced, of course, Gilroy being a lot closer to the population and employment center of the San Francisco Bay Area, there would be a way to transfer to another train at both locations, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But like you say, it would be a shorter train ride from Gilroy.
So you're listening to Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Ethan Elkind. We're talking about the state of California's high-speed rail project, with the Trump administration revoking funding for it from the federal treasury. We're speaking with Benton Graham, a freelance journalist who writes about mobility, immigration, and undertold histories. And he's got a new piece in Grist that focuses on California's failure to build a high-speed rail system. And we'd love to hear from you if you have questions about the status of high-speed rail, if you have thoughts about what the state should be doing in response to the Trump administration's attacks, or if you would ride the train once it's operational. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call to join the conversation, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can email any questions or comments you have to yourcall@kalw.org. And we do have an email question in from Joseph in El Cerrito, who writes, "Why is it so expensive to build this project? Costs have only been going up and up."
Yeah, that's the million, or yeah, $100 billion question, I guess we can say. Yeah, you're right. It has been going up and up. I think there are a few reasons, and Ethan, you may have some additional ones. One that just kind of has impacted, as someone who's been covering transportation infrastructure projects across the country, I mean, inflation has certainly been a factor for infrastructure projects everywhere, including this project. I think this project struggles with one of the another factor that's sort of a trend in US infrastructure, which is just unrealistic expectations from the outset. It's very rare to see US infrastructure projects finish on time and on budget. So moving forward, it would be nice if some of these projects were maybe a little more realistic from the outset. Like I said earlier, I mean, there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling cycle when it comes to delays on the project, and some of that is the result of California's environmental review process. It's a piece. I don't know if it's necessarily the biggest piece, but folks can slow down and delay these projects by filing environmental complaints about them. And that kind of thing not only delays the project on time, but when you slow everything down like that, it costs the projects a lot of money. And I think also when it comes to delays, it's just struggled with that consistent source of funding. The state has been a pretty consistent funder of the project, but those other two actors in the private sector and the federal government have not been consistent enough on the project. But yeah, I think those are a few of the reasons.
Well, and you mentioned environmental review and that impact on the project. Can you talk about the role of the California Environmental Quality Act in terms of permitting the different segments of this project? And also, you just also referred earlier to some recent exemptions for high-speed rail-related projects. So can you talk about the sort of history of environmental review and its impact on the project, as well as some of these newer reforms and what that might mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a big piece of the cost element here. The environmental reviews have costed about hundreds of millions of dollars. I've seen, estimates from $700 million to $1 billion on the review process, which I don't even think necessarily includes these lawsuits or the residual impact of being delayed by the lawsuits. So, and these can take shape in a number of ways. Obviously, this is a very large project, so. How it interacts with communities and how it interacts with the local ecological setting are things that tend to get brought up during the environmental review process. And so this summer, the California legislature and Governor Newsom passed legislation that exempts the project from a lot of the reviews that it normally would be subject to. Now, I will say that 463 of the 494 miles of this project have already been environmentally cleared. So it's not entirely clear how big of an impact that will have at this point, though. The Governor Newsom really celebrated that as a victory. The authority was very pleased by that, and they've pointed out that there are, while it has been environmentally cleared, the route there, much of the route, there are elements of the project that have not been cleared. For example, stations is one aspect that could, have an easier time getting built moving forward. I do also think it's important to note with the peeling back of environmental regulations that, that these laws have been in place for a long time, and I think most folks who look at them see, opportunities for some level of reform. But it's also, I don't want to say that they're a total villain here, because I know that they have done some good work in preserving California's environment.
So we're speaking with Benton Graham about California's high-speed rail project. He's got a new piece in Grist discussing some of the failure of the state to build the project as originally envisioned and budgeted when it went before voters back in 2008. If you want to join the conversation, we just got a few minutes left. The number is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. We also have an email in from Rachel who asks, why was the European plan to run a direct train up Highway 5 rejected? And I think it's a great question from Rachel, because building up I-5 probably would have been a lot easier in that federal right-of-way there in the highway, rather than trying to go in the eastern side of the San Joaquin Valley where the cities are, but where you have a lot more expensive costs to acquire land. So Benton, curious if you're reporting and yielded any discussion on that issue.
Yeah, I mean it's a great question, and I think you bring in good context. I think this project is sort of unique in that it was designed not just to be a rail project connecting, these two massive populations in Los Angeles and the Bay Area, but it also was really designed to uplift the Central Valley. And so and so what we've seen is a commitment to hitting those key population centers, talking about Fresno and Bakersfield specifically. And if it had ran along I-5, it may have been more difficult and would have been further away from those cities, really. And yeah, it has presented challenges for this project. I mean, we see sort of the Brightline model, the privately run passenger train company that has a kind of highest speed train in Florida that uses a lot of existing right of way. And then, of course, Brightline West project that is the other high speed rail project in California, which would connect Las Vegas and the LA area, is using a lot of I-15. So it is a really interesting question, and it does seem to be, a reason, something that could have simplified this project in terms of cost and also in terms of terrain. This project is traversing some pretty tricky terrain, it's super interesting because the state obviously had some admirable goals here in trying to improve economic opportunity and improve air quality in a region, kind of the inland central part of the state that has oftentimes been neglected. So, you and I d discussed this pretty extensively in the past, and it remains to be seen if this project can't be connected to population centers in a timely fashion, meaning the Bay Area and LA, what that means for its future.
Yeah, such a big risk if it's not able to do that. And that is ultimately where the value will come from the project. We have another email question in from Mark in Palo Alto, who writes, "Can we have confidence now in the state to build this project on budget and on time? Have they learned any lessons?" So, Benton, what did you uncover on that question?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think there's if you are someone who really is excited about this project and you want to see high speed rail in the state, I think there are some signs for optimism and that the state has learned some things. One of the things that I found interesting in my reporting is just early on, this project relied so heavily on consultants. I think in its early days, there were about 10 employees within the High Speed Rail Authority. That number has grown, tenfold and then some. So I think, and that's another big reason for why this project got so expensive. But that's just kind of one example of how it has learned. I think there's probably more confidence now in the leadership team on the authority. So that's a positive sign. And like I said at the beginning, it really seems to have hardened the resolve of Democratic state leaders. And so if you're someone who's really excited about this project, I think you should be excited about Governor Newsom's commitment to it. But yeah, I mean, whether or not all this is too little too late, I mean, maybe, but the authority does need to adhere to some specific proposition language, and there's still all sorts of challenges, but I do think we're at a pretty critical moment for this project with the strong state support kind of going up against that federal opposition.
Well, we had someone who dialed in and left a comment off air who asked, "Is building this high-speed rail effort hopeless or hopeful?" Benton, I'm wondering if you have any kind of big picture thoughts on in response to that almost philosophical question.
I think it's hopeful. I mean, I think it's there is a particularly among Democrats, sort of this abundance movement that we should be building big infrastructure projects, and we'll see how that plays over the next elections over the next few years. But I do think, in reporting on a lot of big infrastructure projects across the country, there is a sense that the U.S. can't execute these high high budget, cutting edge type projects. And so I think you can look at this as a hopeful project, as a really ambitious effort to bring the United States this transportation technology that, like you said at the beginning, that doesn't exist in the US right now. So sure, yeah, let's be positive and say it's hopeful.
Well, it certainly is hopeful that voters still seem to support the project. Benton, I know we got to wrap in just a minute here, so I wanted to ask, are you planning any more follow-up stories on high-speed rail? Anything else we can be looking forward to from you in terms of your upcoming journalism?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Yeah, so I have a story that I'm working on right now with Bloomberg City Lab, not about the California high-speed rail project, but about the high-speed rail project in Texas that's connecting Dallas and Houston, or is hoping to connect the two. And as a part of that project, to kind of show how crazy our rail system is these days, I actually rode the train from Dallas to Houston, which currently takes 23 hours. And it's a 250, they're separated by 250 miles. So that shows you how kind of crazy it is. But definitely something I'm always keeping an eye on. And for any listeners who have angles of this story that they'd like to see covered, my email is very available online, so feel free to reach out.
Great. Well, it's good to hear about that, and we'll make sure we've already got your article from Grist posted online on our webpage at klw.org. So any listeners who want to get in touch with Benton or want to read that article, definitely go to our Your Call page via klw.org. Well, Benton Graham, freelance journalist with a new piece in Grist on California's high-speed rail system. Thank you so much for joining us on Your Call's One Planet series.
Thanks for having me, Ethan. It was fun.
Absolutely. And coming up next, we're going to talk about covering Climate Now's recently launched 89% project, which urges journalists to report on the 89% of people in the world who want strong government-led climate action. That's coming up after this short break.